The RHI inquiry heard from InvestNI and Moy Park at the end of last week. The newsletter journalist Sam McBride is here to talk us through what happened. Morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, good morning. And Moy Park, of course, one of the biggest users of the scheme by I'm trying to find the word this morning and I should be able to find it. Their suppliers were using it and lots of them linked to Moy Park.
That's right. This is a massive company. It's a company that is Northern Ireland's biggest employer. It's a company which supplies 30% of all chicken that is sold on shelves across the UK. So not just a massive Northern Ireland company, a massive player in the European poultry business. It's really a monopoly company within Northern Ireland in that it controls 95% of all poultry processing here. So really has very little competition to worry about in Northern Ireland, but has got great ambitions beyond Northern Ireland and was really supported to the hilt by Stormont. It was given a lot of money by Stormont through Invest Northern Ireland. But the real focus of the inquiry is on the money that it got indirectly through the RHI scheme. We know that 40% of its farmers had boilers on the scheme, of the total number of boilers on the scheme, 40% of those were from Moy Park's farmers. Some of those people, many of those people really had more than one boiler. They were heating lots of poultry sheds. In many cases, these people were not abusing the scheme. They just had a very high demand for heat. But because they had that high demand for heat, there was a lot of expense involved. And rather than Moy Park having to foot the whole bill for that, what RHI allowed the company to do was really shave off a lot of its heating costs and allow it to produce a superior product, but not pick up the full bill for that.
So does that mean that our money went to this multi-million pound company?
I think that's pretty clear now, and the significance of what Janet McCollum, who left fairly suddenly earlier this year as the chief executive of Moy Park, but was there for the key period during RHI. What she did on Friday was accept, albeit pretty reluctantly, and I think it's fair to say that it had to be somewhat dragged out of her by the inquiry team, but she accepted that Moy Park had indirectly benefited financially from the scheme. Moy Park had obviously accepted that it benefited in a small way directly from the scheme in that it has four large boilers on the scheme, which it really rushed into service once it says it was tipped off by a DUP member that the scheme was closing. But the really, really big financial aspect of this is not the boilers that it directly has in the scheme. It's those indirect benefits from its farmers. And the evidence of one of Moy Park's main farmers, a man called Tom Forgrave, when he was up at the inquiry before the summer, was that really Moy Park's complex business model meant that while it might look to the public like the farmers were making a lot of money out of this scheme, and they've obviously borne to a certain extent the brunt of public anger about this, actually he was saying because of the way Moy Park's financing works, that money was ultimately ending up in the bank account, not just of Moy Park, but of its parent company in Brazil. So yes, this was public money that was going, whether by accident or by design, and that's something which the inquiry will look at, into the bank account of Moy Park's parent company.
So for me to get my head around this in a simple way, rather than Moy Park paying their suppliers a certain price, that price was reduced because their suppliers were able to get our money, our public money, to heat the chickens.
At the risk of making it slightly more complicated than that, it's a fairly complex business model, but in effect, Moy Park wanted to put in what are effectively glorified radiators in their houses. So rather than having something that was a bit like a Bunsen burner or like a Super Sair heater and a pretty simple gas system, which wasn't so good for the chickens, which didn't create such good meat, which created health problems and really wasn't such a good solution for them, they wanted these dry heat systems. And the best way to fund those clearly in Northern Ireland was under the RHI scheme through biomass boilers. So that meant that there was a greater heat bill, so it was a better product, there was a better life for the chickens.
And we paid for it.
And we paid for a very substantial portion of that. So rather than increase the amount of money which would be required to fund these this ongoing commitment to heat the sheds under this new system, what happened was that Moy Park, according to the evidence of the farmers, and Janet McCollum accepted that this is at least partially correct, they were not paying the full amount that they actually needed to heat the sheds. So they were paying a portion of it, and they knew, of course, that the taxpayer was paying the other portion of it, so the farmer wasn't going to be going bankrupt.
And do we know how many millions of our public money this equated to?
That's not something that's clear yet, and I'm not entirely clear whether that's something which the inquiry will get into in terms of the numbers involved here, but I think it's fair to say that this is very significant. It's significant not just because of the fact that we knew that Moy Park was a big driver of the spike, that it was promoting it, that it was getting tip-offs. It is alleged from within the DUP, from within Stormont, but it is potentially significant because there are very strict rules around government support for companies, and that's there for a very simple reason, so that there's a level playing field. And I think one of the issues here is that if you were one of Moy Park's few remaining competitors in Northern Ireland or a competitor outside Northern Ireland, you might not be terribly thrilled at the idea that they were getting something which may not have been available to you if you were trying to match their standards and match their prices for their product.
The other thing, of course, Sam, is that during the peak of media activity around RHI, people who had one or two or three boilers in their homes were getting pursued by journalists. There was a lot of pressure on them. There was a lot of criticism about them. And then sitting in the background, here was one of Northern Ireland's most prominent companies, knowing that they had contributed to the spike probably more than anybody else, and they were keeping quiet about it.
I think that's a fair summary of what happened. Certainly,
so what does that say about Moy Park and its part in our community? Why didn't they speak up?
They certainly didn't volunteer anything. They may come forward and say that nothing that they said was inaccurate, but it certainly wasn't giving the full picture. And I think if you look at even the written evidence which Janet McCollum gave to the inquiry, it was not quite as direct, it was not quite as upfront, if you like, about exactly what was going on here as what the inquiry established in oral evidence, where they were really having to press her a lot of the time. They were having to extract answers from her. And it really was the inquiry which got this out of her. And one of the very significant things that Janet McCollum said to the inquiry on Friday was that she was never told that the company was indirectly financially benefiting from the scheme. So she says that as chief executive, nobody came to her and said, look, we're making a lot of profit out of this. Now, the inquiry found that difficult to believe. They said, look, you had a background as an accountant. You were the chief financial officer before you were promoted to be chief executive. Is this really correct? She stressed throughout her evidence that she was never told about this and actually said that it was only when she looked at evidence that had come to the inquiry that she then realised after she had left Moy Park that this is what was happening. So on her evidence, as the chief executive of Northern Ireland's biggest company, getting pay in the region of £500,000 a year, I think, she says that she didn't know how they were making money from this scheme, but the inquiry actually knows more about how her company was being run in this regard than she did.
Well, let's hear how some of that unfolded at the RHI inquiry.
The indirect, yes, it's an indirect benefit.
It is an indirect benefit.
In that the company increased the volume of usage of fuel by 70%, and which was a significant increase, perhaps not quite enough.
And if, as you now say, it was an indirect benefit and not just considered as such, when did you first become aware that it was an indirect benefit?
I first became aware of that through having left the business, through the inquiry's evidence that have been brought and the questions that have been asked.
So you were never aware of that indirect benefit, which you accept existed, during your time as chief executive? And I suppose to go back again to a question I asked earlier, does that now surprise you that nobody within your organisation had brought that to your attention?
The company and the team, I believe, were trying to do the right thing in a situation where there was a lot of heightened awareness around usage. The focus was on ensuring responsible usage of heat. As I said, the increase in volume may have been slightly less than what might be needed, and that's an indirect benefit. But it
doesn't surprise you that it wasn't brought to your attention?
Well, it would surprise me if the team had seen it as an indirect benefit. It wasn't recognised as an indirect benefit, but it is. I can see how it is an indirect benefit. It wasn't talked about as an indirect benefit, if I can.
Sam, let me get this right. So this is someone who is on £500,000 a year and is at the very top of a multi-million pound company, who is telling the inquiry she didn't know about what was a significant contribution from the public purse to how their business actually, at the end of the day, and you can wrap all language around this, but the financials of how a farmer was able to stay viable and supply Moy Park, that chief executive is saying she knew nothing about it.
That was in essence what she said over the course of most of Friday. She was pressed about this by, I think, every member of the panel, by counsel for the inquiry, and she gave, as you heard there, sometimes quite rambling answers. But fundamentally, when they really got cut through that and got to what they were actually asking her, she said, "I was never told about this." She suggested that the company had never understood it at that point, said she'd be surprised, as you heard there, if anybody in the company had understood this. But what Keith McLean, who's the technical assessor and who is a businessman who understands the world of business, what he was putting to her repeatedly was that if there was a situation where you knew that this was costing you money, you would be aware of it. And he was really trying to get through whether it was possible that somebody at that level in the company, and this is a business which operates on very fine margins, it is a huge turnover, but its profits actually in relation to the turnover aren't as big as in some other industries, the idea that they wouldn't be aware of this, he was really pressing to see if that was possible. But her answer very consistently was, "I was never told of this. I was never aware of it."
Well, if she wasn't aware of it, and that's what she's told the inquiry, then surely someone at a senior level in Moy Park had to be aware of it. We're talking about many, many, many suppliers to Moy Park rushing into this scheme. That contributed to the spike, Sam. And the scenario that no one at a senior level within Moy Park would know about this, when actually lots of their suppliers are rushing into a scheme that was projected to cost us, the taxpayer, hundreds of millions of pounds. Is it conceivable that no one in Moy Park at a senior level knew about this?
Well, I think we get into a bit of semantics here because of the language that was being used in some of the evidence. But, I mean, it's very clear from Janet McCollum's own evidence, from the evidence of another senior Moy Park figure, David Mark, and from some of the written documentation before the inquiry, that Moy Park wanted this scheme for its own benefit to a certain extent. It saw the benefit of it to poultry. It was alive to the possibility that if it closed, that was going to be a difficulty. And actually, if we come to the point after Spotlight, after Jonathan Bell's interview, when the whole thing is in crisis in January 2017, Moy Park go and meet Stormont Civil Servants. And at that point, when the scheme was closing, but they go at one point to Stormont Civil Servants and they essentially give what sounds on paper like something of a veiled threat that they want to stay in Northern Ireland, that they're committed to Northern Ireland, but if they're at a competitive disadvantage to elsewhere in the UK, where, of course, the RHI scheme stays open, that they would have to look at things. So there is no question that Moy Park understood this scheme was significant to its business. What Mrs. McCollum's evidence was that she didn't understand that they were profiting from it. So there is something of a semantic difference there. But clearly, they knew this was to their benefit. That's why they told their farmers to pile in. That's why they piled in trying to get these four boilers installed in very quick succession once they knew the scheme was to close. There's no question about that.
So no question that Janet McCollum knew about all that. She had to know about that, right?
Well, there are emails which, at the point where the scheme is being closed, she is praising and thanking some of her colleagues for what she says were their efforts to delay the closure by a couple of weeks, which gave the company a bit more time. So there's no question that the company had a very significant role here. The question from the inquiry's point of view is what she knew at the time about this indirect benefit. And it's really quite specific to this complex business model where the company was not paying enough money to its farmers for heat. And it was then knowingly able to allow that to happen because it knew that its farmers were making, in the words of, I think, somebody at the inquiry, I can't recall which person it was, but they said that essentially its farmers were making a killing from RHI. But ultimately, on the evidence of the farmers, that money wasn't staying with them. It was ultimately finding its way through to Moy Park.
And you mentioned the technical assessor to the inquiry, Dr. Keith McLean. He then challenged Janet McCollum about how a company, you've gone over some of this, Sam, like Moy Park, could not do the sums that the rest of the industry were doing. Here's how Janet McCollum responded to that.
I believe the organisation took the evidence that was available to them at that point in time. So if you take the CAFRI report, obviously the move from LPG to biomass, direct heating to indirect heating, involved additional usage of heat. From the evidence that was pulled together, from memory, CAFRI would have recommended about a 30% increase in usage. On the implementation of the fuel allowance for biomass, we immediately increased it by 50%. Okay? That's what I'm saying. There was a really significant increase in the energy allowance. Subsequent to that, the year later, looking at the GB evidence, we brought it up. I believe the differential in fuel allowance is relatively small.
In your bigger picture of things, but if you I can't remember the detail of the numbers that we looked at, but it was going into, I think, certainly the tens of thousands, if not the hundreds of thousands per annum for an individual grower.
I think if you're relating to Mr. Tom Forgrave's evidence, and maybe one of the team would be better to give you more detailed response on this, but you're looking at one grower out of 800 growers. I believe Mr. Forgrave was an early adopter of the system, and that's why I highlighted the 50% weighted average, because I don't necessarily think that that's representative of the whole of the independent growers that will be supplying Moy Park.
That's my point being, to come to a conclusion like that, you can only do it competently if you are looking into the numbers. Because you can't just say out of the top of your head, well, Tom Forgrave's going to get the number wrong and he's bound to... you're going to look for some evidence. And we have seen across the inquiry's work now of almost a year how much the market knew how very early on about the costs and what was possible, what the returns were like. And I'm thinking not of 2017 mm-hmm. and 2018.
Yep.
I'm thinking of much earlier on in mm-hmm. the scheme and the early adopters like Mr. Forgrave. I find it very difficult to understand how an organisation like yours would not have the same sort of market knowledge, would not be able to do the same sort of sums to early on in the process come to a conclusion that there is a benefit here that accruing to us because we are paying less than it is costing the farmers. But we're quite comfortable morally to be doing that because we know that they're making a killing on the subsidy.
Sam, one other question to you this morning about Moy Park, and indeed, let's bring the DUP into this. So, when the public were wanting answers as to how this all happened, how there was a projection that hundreds of millions of their pounds was to be overspent, were the DUP representatives who were talking to journalists and coming on the media, were they making it clear that Moy Park was part of the reason for the spike? And if not, why not?
Well, I think that Moy Park never featured to the extent that we now know might have been reasonable in the coverage.
Why not, Sam?
Because we very simply did not know what was happening. And I think
some of the people within the DUP did know.
Some of them clearly knew. I mean, Andrew Crawford comes out of this as being exceptionally close to Moy Park. Not only do several of his family supply Moy Park and have contracts with Moy Park, but he has lots of contacts or did have lots of contacts at the very top of the organisation. So he clearly knew what was going on here. He understood the business model. He knew what was happening. There were other people around Stormont at senior levels in the DUP who did know. There'll be other people who probably didn't have a clue about this, to be fair to them.
Yeah.
But there were certainly people who were aware of it. And I think one of the issues here is that if we had got the sort of in-house investigation that the DUP and Sinn Féin initially wanted, I think it's fair to say we would never have gotten into this. It would have been a very simple story about how RHI had led to fraud and abuse and all the rest of it. And that's part of the story, and Arlene Foster's part of the story, and the DUP are part of the story. But this big element of the story was really missing at that point. And would we ever have got this? A lot of the evidence that we have seen that proves some of the issues that are being put to Mrs. McCollum comes from evidence which the inquiry has compelled Moy Park to release. That is not a power which would have been available to somebody who the DUP or Sinn Féin would have wanted to come in and conduct something that was very fast, but not as in-depth.
Here's my point. That when the DUP, including Arlene Foster was making her speech, as you know, on the floor of the Assembly in late December, and all of those questions that the public were asking of the DUP, look, what did they know? What did they not know? Is it conceivable that Andrew Crawford would not have shared with Arlene Foster and indeed other senior advisers within the DUP Moy Park's role? I'm just trying to understand how the DUP didn't say, well, look, part of the spike, here's how Moy Park was associated with it. And they didn't.
That's something which potentially Mrs. Foster and some of her advisers who are in front of the inquiry this week will be asked. But I think what is very clear from the evidence to the inquiry is that Moy Park was viewed by some people within Stormont as so dominant that it was almost too big to fail. It was like some of those big banks where there was a sense that Stormont just had to do whatever it took to keep Moy Park operating, to keep them happy, to keep them employing people. And of course, from their point of view, there's a very logical reason for that. This is a company that employs something in the region of 10,000 people. It is paying wages, it's supporting the economy. But I think one of the questions is, when people some people in the DUP have said that really they're standing up for farmers, that they're standing up for the rural economy, some of the evidence from those farmers to the inquiry is that actually they weren't the people who were really benefiting from this, that it was a big corporate entity that was benefiting from this, and a lot of this money was ultimately not even staying in Northern Ireland. It was going to a multinational which is headquartered in either Brazil or the US, depending on the time frame here.
And finally, Sam, this is one of the biggest weeks of the RHI inquiry so far. Arlene Foster is tomorrow, correct?
That's right. Arlene Foster tomorrow, then we will have John Robinson the following day. He's the DUP's chief spin doctor, former special advisor to Simon Hamilton at the point where the scheme was really in the spotlight. After BBC Spotlight and after the Jonathan Bell interview, we know that his father-in-law has got boilers. There's no suggestion that he has abused the scheme. We then will have Stephen Brimstone later that day, and the following day, a former special advisor to Mrs. Foster and to other DUP ministers who left his employment with Mrs. Foster just a few weeks before the Spotlight programme. It was said at that point that he was leaving to go into business. It's not entirely clear what all was going on at that point, but what has been alleged in the Assembly under Assembly Privilege by Jim Allister is that he has a boiler, that there were allegations about that which weren't really fully addressed by Mr. Brimstone at the time. I think the fact that the inquiry has set aside a full day for him to give evidence, even though he doesn't have much real hands-on role in the scheme itself, if any role, suggests that he's going to be asked about his personal boiler, and then we will be into very significant testimony from Timothy Johnston on Friday. That's the chief executive of the DUP, a man who was really at the right hand of every DUP leader for the last decade, a man who has enormous influence, but who really is unknown outside of the corridors of power, somebody who would not be recognised if he walked down the street, who is not used to facing questions in public. The questions that are put to him and the answers that he gives will be very illuminating as to how Stormont operated under devolution.
Sam, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. That's the newsletter journalist Sam McBride talking us through the latest at RHI.